Not Acts. Romans. I thought we'd zip through Romans for a minute. Did I miss anything over the weekend?
No.
Good. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by or through the agency of the resurrection of the dead, or resurrection from the dead. Again, these words, you know, we tend, if you've been raised in the church or you, by familiarity, they lose their power. Anytime the word concerning is used, it's the word peri in the Greek, which calls, it focuses all attention onto the one thing that that's about to be described concerning. And it's superlative point of interest, used for emphasis of cutting through the essence of the meaning. And the Son is the word huios. And it's where we get the word adoption. It's the placing of the fullness of the Son is the word adoption. It's not you're adopting a baby. You know, where we have been adopted or by adoption, we tend to make that word what we know about adoption. You want to go adopt a little baby. But this is a totally different word. It's the placing of the fullness of the Son. Remember, there's all those different words for the meaning of a child, a male child. And it goes all the way from the infant to the teenager to the young adult to the... Well, this is the huios, the fullness of the Son. And so everything that we're about to read is concerning peri, the superlative attention, concerning this Son. That's what everything is about. Okay? And then Jesus Christ our Lord is not in the text. I mean, it's, they added it, but it's not necessary for the meaning. The essence of the gospel is the Son. You can never remember that. You can never forget. You can never see that the essence of the gospel has something to do with you. If you see and think that the gospel has something to do with you, then pretty soon you will start little making evangelistic tools like God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. No, the gospel is concerning the Son. And it says, which the scriptures, all the scriptures declared concerning the Son. Now the Son would have no meaning to you unless the Son took on the form of flesh. If the Son hadn't become flesh, if he hadn't tabernacled as man, then he would just be an ideal. He would be a God to whom you do the same thing you do to all gods. You make offerings, you try to make petitions to him, you try to please him. You feel punishment if you don't please him, or you fear it. And you fear wrath if you've been really bad. But that's all gone in the Son. What? You're doing it again.
Well, this is an oxymoron here. I mean, it has nothing to do with you and everything to do with you. It's like your whole... You are the temple, and yet you are nothing. And so it's a mystery is... blows your mind to where you can't figure it out, so you have to just
Let's go back. Let's go back to Psalm 2. What I want to make clear this morning is how, no matter how you couch it, no matter what words you use, how quickly that the attention leaves the Son and goes to man. And how quickly we adopt all of the pagan thought processes about how every other pagan thinks of their God. And that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. All right, Psalm 2. Well, let me go back. Just state you. It's in the verse we're studying is concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared. And declared is what we're going to study here in a minute. It's remember that we've talked about the word horizo, off horizo was separated. Well, declared is just horizo. It's he was, and we are separated, therefore made holy by that separation, and that is the declaration. It's not. Now let's look at this. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings or the leaders of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying. Now, does that what you think happens? Every leader, every king, every ruler, every principal is taking, imagining it a vain counsel and taking counsel together against the Lord and His anointed. How do they do that? Because the entire world is wandering after the beast themselves. This is without exception. From the fall until this day, the entire universe, the entire human race has wandered after the beast. Because your entire being is concerned with your fulfillment. And now you wander after the beast in Jesus' name. You look like you've been hit with a brick again.
This stuff was just all over me. I mean,
good. So why do the heathen rage? Who are the heathen? All of us. Unless we've seen and accepted our death. Why do the heathen rage? The people imagine a vain thing. It's a plaintive question by the psalmist. Why? And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, I do not want any of these bands and cords from the Lord and His anointed, because my function is self-realization. I will look at the scriptures and they will be an instrument for how I can get something, just as the way I do with everything else. Now listen, verse 3. But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And it's the same word, laig, that he's laughing, he's mocking us. For stammering lips and another tongue, here is. I just love this, because that's all God has been doing, is mocking our little trips and our little ideas. Verse the Lord shall have them in derision. Oh no, not me. I'm just trying to do the Lord's will. God spoke to me about it. No, he didn't. You're lying through your teeth.
What's funny about this is it's not an option. It's just the way it is. You can't be good and change it and be sincere and make it different.
Let's take it. I'm sorry. We're going places. Let's go to, I think, Isaiah 59 just real quick. We're going to come back to Psalms because we haven't gotten to the good part yet.
We're in Isaiah.
59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The iniquity and the sin, the iniquity are the trespasses, iniquity, self-seeking. As long as you are operating in your name and then putting Jesus' name on it, then your iniquity, your self-seeking, your raging, you may be in the name of Jesus, but you're still raging against the Lord and his anointed. Again, this is a what is. There's no options. You can't accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and therefore you're not raging against the Lord and his anointed. You can't have something to do without raging against God and his anointed. You can't have an idea without raging against God and his anointed. You really can't have a want or a need without raging against God and his anointed. So why do the heathen continue to rage? John, what's going on?
Nothing.
Are you agreeing? Or?
Yeah. I can't read the Bible because my glasses are not here. That's why I don't have my Bible.
Okay. I didn't know about your Bible. I just felt something over there. Okay, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now, we got to hear this. It's not that some of the things that you imagine are vain. It's everything you imagine is vain. Oh, we got to just pump the energy into it. No. Then you're fighting against the Holy Spirit. Oh, but I'm just trying to do the best I can. No. Oh, but you don't understand. You don't understand what I've been through. No. Then you're pumping. Oh, well, I'm just trying to be nice. No. Then you're...
Sound like you've heard them all.
That's why I mean, fortunately, I don't have many meetings lately because people know better. Declared. Verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I, in spite of all this, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for every situation. The Lord of the whole earth is this Mount Zion, the habitation. Not some idiotic hunk of rock in the desert in the Middle East. It's all gone. Oh, let's go make a trip to the Holy Land. No. Oh, let's just wait until tomorrow, then I'll get things right now. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee, or this day have I declared thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling. With fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they, all they, that put their trust only in him. There's no more room. There's no more time. What are you going to sell your birthright for today? Feeling of righteous concern, moment of anger, my favorite one, for free floating anxiety. Back to Romans.
That declaration separates him out from everything else in the world, in the universe, which includes all that other stuff that you might possibly be thinking about or wondering about.
Amen. One of the biggest fights we've ever had, and we've had a few, was very, very early. When I said that God didn't love you. Because the predicate of our modern Christianity is that God loved you so much. You have to come to this mystery and see finally, with through all of the fog and the confusion, that there's a residence of God's love, and that's in the Son. He alone was declared. He alone has immortality. What then must we do? Believe. But believe you've got to see finally that believe is total. There isn't, I believe, but this is what I think. It's cosmic. It's bigger than big. It isn't provincial in terms of this, our little issues of whether or not we have a dishwasher or whether or not your prayer of agreement worked. Why do the heathen rage? Well, it's not, you can't stop your mind from being a heathen. The question is, why do you pay any attention to it? The heathen worships images. Worships ideas, worships graven, and worships emotions. Why? That's called raging against the Lord and His anointed. Oh, something just came upon me. No, it didn't. You invited it. All right. Which was made of the seed of David. Now, we hear, and again, we would love it to be true. All of us would love to believe in that. We'd love the seed to be, we'd love it to be something. We'd love it to be something that would that would make things like we think they should be. So if you have a lack of money, you want the seed to be money. So you got to plant your seed. And if you want better health, then you got to, well, in modern theology, you still have to plant your money. You have to give something. It's hard for us to conceive that he was this. That's why the Trinity is so misunderstood. The idea that it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they're three in one. In order for this total economy of God to be what it is, there had to be this three in one. The Word had to be made flesh, and it was made so before the foundation of the world in case that man or Adam fell. Then God kept giving Adam or man more and more chances so that every possibility of true repentance could happen. And then finally, when they killed his son, then it was too late. Then it's all over. And so anything about you can no longer be the subject of your sentence. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then that means that there is no more frame of reference of you. Do you understand that? You can't seek Him because or seek Him for, because that all disappeared. And there is either there and if you understood at all the book of Ecclesiastes that we've spent so many months studying, then what we, these first few verses of Romans are the most incredible news that there is. But you must see by now that it's not an add-on to your life. So he was made. It's was made as genomai, which means he became or he entered a new state. I mean, it's a new state of existence for the Word to be made flesh. He was both Son of Man and Son of God, but he, as Son of Man, was crucified. And all we can do then is bear about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, because we're already dead. You're an illusion. You've made yourself up. The world has wandered after the beast all of its life. But now, if you have ears to hear, if finally you've seen the vanity and futility of all human effort, including all of your own, then your ear is circumcised. And you can finally hear. And the test of whether you hear is you've got to stop making references to yourself.
I just understood that for the first time about bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. It just never clicked until the second.
Good. That's a huge deal. It doesn't have anything to do with you. You don't have anything to do with you. That's the... And this is where this line, this horizon, you have to cross the horizon. You're on this side, and all of your deals, and all the things you think, and all the things you like, and all the things you want, and then he is on the other side. And you can't get that. You've got to cross that horizon, and you can cross it once and for all time, so you don't go bouncing back and forth between you and him, you and him. What do I think about that? What do I need? What do I want? The Lord is your shepherd. I shall not want. It's impossible. Oh, but I've got a good idea of what the Lord wants me to do. No, you don't. You don't have any idea what the Lord wants. You can't conceive of it. And so you have to understand what with the mind-blowing experiences of Solomon and seeing he saw that all was empty, all was futile, all was vain, so therefore there never again there's no reference to you in any of life. Why do the heathen rage? And if you think your mind is anything other than a heathen, then you've heard nothing I've said.
Thinking about all the history of, you know, all the church in relation to that verse in the Psalms, you know, giving you the heathen for an inheritance, and all that, conquering and, you know, ruling with a rod of iron and all that kind of thing. And it's all about him. Ruling our raging mind, and what does it say? You know, it says smash it and all this kind of stuff. You know,
well, that's what all of those. That's what all of those stories about.
It's a lot more comfortable with the fact that he's going to be smashing people out there, you know, on behalf of our, you know,
and then religious establishment. Yeah, so we make him into a puppet, like a little child playing with a puppet on a string. But we do it so sincerely. This thing about going all the way back to the garden, when the first thing that God said after the fall was, "Who told you you were naked?" And naked just means that you need something. Who told you? And the answer is, it's obvious. The same serpent that told Adam and Eve they were naked is the same serpent that is telling you that this is what I need to do, and this is what I need to get, and this is how I need to arrange it, and this is all these little things. And all this is tested. You can't... To do this alone is nigh on to impossible. Because you can't, the things that you do as by nature that you've learned to do automatically because of being of the seed of the fall, you can't possibly conceive. And see, if you hadn't wanted to do it before, all of us would want to take the book of Ecclesiastes out of the Bible. And we probably want to take Job out too, because of that thing about, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Because we want it to be, well, if I can just do it right, if I can just make a vow, or if I can just get the right education, or if I can just, you know. And any time you listen to a voice that tells you how to, then you're just out searching for a whore. And you'll pick the one that seems to attract you for that moment. If you're going to a church, or going to if you're ecclesia, you're gathering in the name of Jesus, is telling you how to, then all they're doing is they're teaching you how to either put on the right makeup or put on the right, make your dress so short that you can be alluring. But all of that, it's never about that. It's about what's going on in you. Now, can you see that? That's all these little voices and crap that you think are so important, and all these feelings of emotions, and all these apparent needs are just that whole board of heathen raging in your mind, convincing you that it isn't finished, convincing you that you haven't been perfected. This is dangerous. That's why the believers are a sign and a wonder. Not because you do signs and wonders, it's because you are. That's why none of the stuff in there is none of the, nothing in the scriptures is optional. You're either, it just reveals whether you're the whore or the bride. Not so much. It's your warfare is over. It's done. You don't have anything to concern yourself with. You don't make plans in advance about what you're going to do, because that, again, it subtly raises the evil one from his deadly head wound. You just be. And you see that all of these little things that you've been taught to do and you do done by nature and all this stuff that you let your mind go, it's just purely the raging of the heathen in your mind. Well, what shall this man do then? Believe. What will I get? Nothing. Except peace and joy passes all understanding. It isn't interrupted.
It seems like it's to know that you're covered. And when they thought that they were naked, first thing they do is try to cover themselves. And that's, to me, that's the raging is attempt to cover myself. When all along he says you're totally covered.
Yeah. You got on the perfect covering, the righteousness of Christ. But you don't understand, Ollie. So-and-so is I'm upset with. Well, who cares? Oh, I just can't take it anymore. Well, then you're an idiot. What? It's done. It's over. It's finished. It's complete. You've been perfected. You own all things. All things exist. There's nothing left to do. You're perfected by one offering. It's finished. You can't be naked. You're covered. You can't have a need. It's impossible. Yeah, what's going on?
Oh, I'm enjoying the thing about, where is it? I guess it was in the song about he'll laugh. He'll hold you in derision.
Hold you in derision.
I mean, it's just like, you know, you always say, why do you like horror movies? Because that's a picture. It's like, I was thinking, why are those Wile E. Coyote cartoons so universally funny and acceptable? Because there we are. We're that stupid coyote coming up with another plan after another plan after another plan. And there's the sun, could care less, just steps out of the way.
Yeah.
We are, he laughs at us. It's just...
Just stop taking yourself seriously. That's the bottom line.
And the other thing, excuse me, but the other thing I was thinking about is that it's like this crazy troupe of gypsy acrobats or something that springs up out of the earth and starts having a convention inside my head, yelling and screaming and accusing and doing tricks and eating fire. And it's just...
It's just crazy.
But from the circle of the earth, looking down on the circle of the earth, it's funny as hell. It's just...
Yeah, but we always end up with, you don't understand, these guys that I have are important.
Yeah, they're wearing suits and ties as opposed to bandanas.
Your warfare is over. The universe is over. Be at rest. Take a big guy.
Brothers Karamazov.
That's what you said.
I'd say